be a problem with somebody listening to this, or what made you kind of pay attention when it came across?
Well, I remember hearing it on the tapes, and then it just stuck out. It was just flat, like almost flashing to me, like, oops, that was not probably the way. And you can hear yourself, like, some of the things you don't notice, the pauses or the tempo when you talk. Like, when I was talking, I listened back, I was like, wow, I did not think I sounded like that.
So you find that to be a valuable tool, eh?
I find it to be very valuable. And I tried to do it the other day when JW and me went prospecting, and I didn't have it on. I thought I had it in my pocket on, and I hit record, and it didn't record. But, no, I think that is... It is very powerful. I think my learning curve is going to be far better because I'll be able to hear myself talk and I can critique myself. And that's kind of what JW and me did also, is when we went prospecting, we would say, well, how'd that one go? What did we do wrong? What could we have done better?
But
what a combo. What a day.
That's great.
All right, JW, what did you get from the reading or listening this week? Some of your favorite highlights?
Well, one of the highlights was is planning ahead. I'm not about winging it. I don't stay to the script, and if I stay to the script, I think I'd do a lot better. But I think in everything that we read, everything that we hear is plan, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm saying, okay, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I'm going to say, and this is what I'm going to say. I try to fit, and TJ can tell you this because he was with her, I try to fit with who I'm with. You know, we talked to a guy on a park bench there, you know, and then we talked to another guy who was a businessman behind the counter. So, you know, our approach, and we talked to a waiter, so our approach was a little different by three of them. But yet the basic was the same, you know. We just kind of tweak the approach for the individual and the age of the individual and just try to be natural, try to be ourselves, not try to be anything different than what we are and strike up a conversation and just let it flow. And that was, like TJ said, well, it's kind of like, you could have done a little better here, or you could have done a little better. We're just critiquing each other. And I think in the books and on the tapes, on the CDs and the DVDs and other things you're listening to is being positive, being positive about what you're doing, being enthusiastic about what you're doing, and having fun.
That is awesome. TJ, I'm going to come back to you for a second because you only just learned this process of going out in pairs and doing some recruiting. And for years, we've had a heck of a time trying to teach that. But how did you relate passing on some of the little tricks that we were, or the steps that we used in that process? How would you relate that it worked in teaching JW just only after having learned it a week ago yourself?
Well, I guess, you know, and JW had a great understanding, too. And we kind of just, flowed into. I felt great going out with you, and then actually, you know, going out with JW, I was a little more reserved. You know, I kind of lost a little bit of my gun-ho-ness, and then being with JW helped bring that back out in me. I got a little shy there for a little bit. I'll tell you, the partners, I think it's a must going out with a partner because it helped me keep fired up. Because I was like, wow, I mean, I'm not getting it today. The words are a little bit tough. But we would just sit down and talk. I mean, it's so easy, though, with what you're supposed to do. It's no more than...
JW, is that the first time you've ever paired up?
Yeah. I've never paired up with anybody. I've always went solo, you know, with my wife. But, I don't think I've ever paired up with anybody. TJ and I just click right off and it was kind of like, okay, you know, I'm going to take this one and tell them what I did wrong, and you take the next one, and we'll see, you know, how you do, and just kind of work back and forth like that and just critique each other. It wasn't scolding anybody or anything, were we? It was just saying, you know, hey, maybe if you did this a little different next time, or hey, let's go get something different. they hammered the writer and had him going. I thought you were signing him up right there.
Now, that's such a good point, and I think it's one of them that I learned when I was out there. Let's see if, Andrea, you can tell everybody, what is the first rule of going out?
What is this, what?
The first rule of going out. Should you go out specifically to walk into an unknown place for no good reason to talk to people?
No, you really have to have a purpose for being there. Like, if you're going to go buy dog food, then you're going to go buy dog food. yeah. Have to have a reason for being there, so you don't look like a fake person that everybody goes, you know, don't like you.
That's so true. And so, DJ, did you guys walk into any of those?
No, we had a purpose for everything. We started with Home Depot, or Lowe's. Well, we first met at a juice place to go over our preview, and then we were going prospecting. And then I was like, okay, I need to go to Lowe's. I need to buy lights, floodlights for the gym. So we went in there. And I said, hey, I'm hopeful to be buying a house this summer. I need a refrigerator. Let's go talk to the appliance guy. So we went and talked there. And then from there, we went to the mall. And JW, he was talking to the T-Mobile guys about a cell phone. And then we stopped and talked to, we were curious is about the kiosks in the middle of the,
in the mall.
So we talked. I wanted to ask the guy about information about getting one. So I asked him. I was curious what it cost and everything. We talked to him.
And so you felt perfectly natural being in front of people who were there to have you talk to them about what they were there for. I mean, that
right.
Works out great.
Absolutely.
Is anybody on the call?
What did y'all use to go from one, to turn it to the business aspect of Megan? Did you have a standard question you would ask somebody, or how did you do that?
Well, most of the time we just asked, are you keeping your options open for extra income?
Okay, that's a good transition.
I mean, that's basically what we did. We had one guy that we stopped by that was sitting there, and I've heard Jerry did this, walk up to the guy and said, man, you must be the boredest guy in the whole place here. And this guy was sitting there kind of looking like that, about ready to fall asleep and fall off the bench. And so we stopped and was talking to him and just asking, well, how do you do for a living? He said, I move, I'm a furniture mover. And I said, man, I bet that's tough on your back. Make an old man out of you in a hurry, Do you ever look at any other ways of making an income besides moving furniture? Oh, yeah, I'd like to do something different. Well, give me your name and number, and I'll give you a call. See if we got something that might be a fit for you.
Hey, that's fast.
That was it. Wasn't it, PJ? I mean, that's all we did.
Or just listening to somebody and finding out what their goals are, and then asking them if they're achieving those goals with what they're doing right now. And they'll probably go, no. And are you going to achieve them in 5 years from now? No. Are you ever going to get there? I mean, you don't say it like that, but, just make people discover it themselves.
Yeah, I'd say that's sometimes when I was talking I'm looking, and sometimes I do get a little frustrated. I'm like, okay, where's the turn? Where's the question? I got to find this one. When we were talking to the refrigerator guy, it took us a while to find something out. We finally found out the guy worked for Sears, and then JW chimed in. He had a Sears catalog store, and I knew nothing about it, so JW took that one and ran with it because he knew about that.
Yeah.
So we started talking to the guy that way. But, yeah, sometimes it took us a while to find, that one at least did.
Sometimes it just doesn't come out naturally.
No.
And, you just kind of go, I just don't know what to say.
And our waiter wouldn't sit there and have a long conversation with us, so that one was a little tougher, too. And so we got some information out of it, and finally I just turned around. He was doing his silverware behind me because he wouldn't sit there and even give us a hint of conversation, really. So I just turned around and politely asked him, hey, could you keep your options open for different opportunities? And he said, oh, of course I do. And then we found out he was going to the fire. After that, he opened up and he's going to the fire department. And then I talked to him about the far infrared. Because he said, yes, if it would you sell or something like that. And I just went into the company, told him a little bit about the company, gave him a quick snapshot, and then said, hey, you know, with the fire, you know, we have a great product that helps with burns. I have a friend that I just talked to, which I did. I talked to a friend about 2-3 days ago that's a Kansas City firefighter that's interested in learning more. Once I told him about the burns, because he just got charred, his leg did. So he goes, man, I really want to find out some more about that.
Too cool. Okay, let's throw in Kevin. What did you pick up from your favorite part of the tape or the reading?
His favorite part when it comes to being Michael Klump or Robert Kiyosaki, it's probably going to be Robert Kiyosaki every time. And that's kind of like what Robert talks about, how network marketing, kind of what it is today, how it's evolved a little bit, and how it is a great way for the average person who doesn't have millions of dollars to their name to build a big B business in his cash flow quadrant. You know, that he does stress how, you know, it does take, you know, 2 to 5 years of sweat equity oftentimes to make it happen. I think it's important to remember that for most people, network marketing is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but today it's rather a profession, so.
Good. And so as a result, it makes us want to kind of raise the bar for ourselves and offer something, to remember that when we're offering something, it's of great value. I agree with that completely. Okay, Mike, what was your favorite perspective on some of the reading? And
I think that as looking through it, the most important thing is building relationship. You know, if you just sponsor somebody in and that's all it takes time. And that's probably most important, whether it's in build this business or building anything else. But you don't get to know one another without spending time. And like these guys here have been out prospecting together and stuff like that. That is really a good way. You want to build it with just like the people that if I go to build the business, we're going to have to spend time with them. Are we still there?
Yep, that's cool. In fact, you guys have just brought up something that I'm going to throw out here, but I got to try to pull somebody on the line. And so let's just, and I wish I could hear this, but Audrey, why don't you go ahead and give your favorite part of that, and I'll try to pull back a special guest on the call.
Okay. I was just thinking, Mike, when you said that's the coolest part anyway. I mean, you know, in life it's always fun to make new friends and build strong relationships. And I think having a strong relationship with the people that are in your business, it's not only important, but it's also rewarding. And but I think my favorite part, well, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's kind of where I'm at now, is the duplication thing. You know, just watching people that have been through it and duplicating what they do and maybe even tweaking it a little bit to fit your own personality, but still duplicating how it's done so that you can be successful without reinventing the wheel. And I think that's something that's very important. You know, I think coming into the business early on, I just was so hot on the product that it wasn't natural for me at all to talk about the business. But, you know, finally, I realized that that's also a gift for people is, you know, being able to become financially free, you know, because there's so much freedom in controlling your future and what it's going to look like, you know, and at least trying to do that. and you can feel, as a person, you can feel more successful if you're able to work towards towards building your future. Whereas, you know, if you're just going to work 8 to 5 every day, are you really working to a future? Because your boss controls that, you know?
And I was talking to my older brother tonight, and he drives a concrete truck out in Arizona. And in about the past year or so, they come in, and all of a sudden they say, well, we're changing the way we're compensating everybody, and we're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they come back into that, you know, this last week and said, well, we're changing the way we're going to compensate everybody. We're going to do it this way. And he has no control over any of it because, you know, just that, you know, what they've done this time probably takes $400 a month out of his paycheck. Just, and there's not anything he can say about it, do about it, or anything else. And I mean,
yeah,
70 and 80 hours a week. And
you know, that guy that's working like that and working so hard, you know, maybe he has to hold on to that for a while until he builds his NECAN business. But if he is building a business on the side, how much mm-hmm. freedom is he feeling in his heart? Because in his heart, he's going, you know what, I'm free from this already. I'm building my future anyway. And, you know, that just, I think, is the hugest gift that you can give to anybody, is for them to start dreaming again and to not be stuck in somebody else controlling your future.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Very true.
Audria?
Yes.
I could listen to your voice all night long. In fact, you know what I want to do? When I was just married, my wife used to read this little book off the Christmas tree, and it was called The Christmas Mouse, and it sounded so great, I always just sat around the corner and just listened and dreamed like I was a little kid listening. So I'm going to bring a children's book on sometime, and you're going to read it to me just for a
second. Grow up, Jerry.
You record it, you can listen to it every night when you go to
sleep. That's funny. I'm kidding.
You know, I just wear my heart on my sleeve there.
Aww.
Okay, this... Jennifer, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, you guys, I now have seen Jennifer in real person.
Wow.
And, she's just as cool as I thought she was.
Thank you.
Jennifer, what was your favorite out of the readings or the CDs?
Well, the CDs, I really like how they put the different steps of the business into perspective, and kind of did, I don't know, kind of a side note on what the mindset is of the person that thinks that way and wants to achieve their dreams in that way, or tries to achieve their dreams in that way. I really enjoyed that. And then the book, I kind of shared my favorite part last week, which has already been mentioned tonight, just on the way you word things. But I was going back through it, and I really liked the Faustian formula and how he puts that all out there. And then just the parts that it brings in from what we learned in Humans Being More, just to set aside your dreams and the positive self-talk and how you have to think about that, meditate on that, and that's what you get.
That's such a critical point that many of us don't really think about. And we think about what's right in front of us and what's bugging us, and by gum, we get stuck on it. And instead of thinking about what we're going to bust through and become, or what we're going to achieve and overcome. So that's just absolutely sort of incredible stuff. Let me check something here. I think my phone is... Yep, my barbecue... I'm supposed to turn the barbecue off, but that was yesterday, so I'm good to go. I programmed it in because I keep running out of propane when I'm cleaning all... That probably doesn't have much to do with our conversation, huh? All right, this week, we have some pretty amazing things. We got a lot of follow-up to do. I have a feeling there's never been a team that's ever done just walk up, meet some folks, kind of prospecting anywhere near as well as this team's doing. And I'm really, really excited about that. But it's getting them that next step down the line. And somebody already mentioned it, that we're thinking farther down the line. We're thinking about what is it that we're going to be able to provide, and I believe that Audrey was probably getting into a lot of that when I was off on the other call. What is it we're going to provide in that person's life that's going to be a really revolutionary thing that we know and we look with great interest upon them and their lives? We know that as we look at them, we could really offer something here. And I don't know if you're going to get it. That's entirely up to where your timing is, and I can never tell you, but I know that you'd be great to work with. We'd like to have you take a shot, take a look. So during the course of this last week, people had to call back. People had to follow up on some of the prospecting that we did the week before. Who has anything that really was a revelation to you, or worked real well, or was a problem, or something that was related to the follow-up from last week's efforts?
I have one.
Uh-huh.
And I know it went over in the Danny Johnson CDs, and I know I've heard it before, but when someone says, is this all selling? I was kind of like, I know what to say, but I cannot remember what to say and how to.
Audrey, do you remember what it is to say in terms of what we do that's not other than selling?
If somebody says, I can't sell stuff, you mean?
No,
or is this selling?
If you call someone back and they say, what is this selling? That's what she said, and I was like, shoot.
I don't think I listened to that part yet.
Well,
I've heard you say that.
See if this connects with you. Oh, did you?
I heard that happen to me. I heard a guy listen to that.
Okay.
And it just clicked with me. I said, well, do you like to sell? And he said, no. And I said, that's great, because there's no selling involved.
Oh, that was a good turn.
Yeah, that is
really,
that's a very good one, because you don't have to remember much.
Thank you. That's how it came back to me. I didn't have to remember much.
Yeah, because so what if he said, yeah, I love selling?
Good. We got an opportunity here. You can't pass up.
Yeah, and then what if he said, is this network marketing? And you'd say?
It sure is.
Or you'd say, do you like network marketing? And he goes, yeah, I love it. Then you'd say, great, you're going to love this. And if he says, I hate network marketing, you'd say, great, you're going to love this. So if he says, is this a pyramid scheme? No.
Oh, why?
But if you ask me if it's network marketing, I'm going to ask him, you know, depending on what the tone of his voice is, I want to ask him, well, tell him what you know about network marketing. To see what he does know. Does he know anything about network marketing, or has he just heard about it?
Yeah.
Does he just have a neighbor that told him, oh, well, that's a bunch of junk. I knew a guy that got into it and lost his flap and everything else, you know. And so, well, what happened? Well, I don't know. He just told me about it.
Yeah, that's good, and then you can relate that back. Here's another thing that we might want to memorize. Let's change the terminology of what it is we do. We might want to say we're business developers. But TJ, do you see how you could have played that back on?
Yeah.
If she said, is this selling, and you could say, we're business developers.
Well, if I remember right, that's how the waiter says, is it selling? And I went into the company and said, no, we're trying to move a 5A1 Dun & Bradstreet rated company into this area. And I said, you know, currently 65%, I believe it is, business. I said East Coast, and JW goes, it was West Coast. But I said the wrong coast. But I said, you know, currently there's 65% of the business on the East Coast, and there's not much here, and we're trying to get this up and moving.
And I didn't tell him that until after we woke up.
It didn't really make any difference. The guy didn't know which coast he was talking about.
Yeah.
He had no idea the first place.
Yeah, so you got away with going. That was good. That was a great comeback, because
yep.
he was still intrigued. And what I like about that comeback in particular, That's kind of Dave Johnson-ish. What I mean by that is that so many of us get to thinking in small potatoes, or we think in specifics that are a little bit difficult for people, because if we talk about business, can you see how some people might have a preconceived notion in their mind of what a business is?
Yes.
Some of them might think it's Donald Trump. Somebody might think it's selling pencils out of a cup. Someone might think it's Enron. Someone might think that it's owning your own gas station. But there can be as many different ideas of what business is as there are people out there. And what we found was that when asking groups of people, there was much higher, in fact, out of 25 people we asked in San Diego that were at one of our meetings, if you think of the term business, give me two words to describe business in your mind, and every one of them. Well, no, there was one guy that came up with two positive words. And the rest, all 24 of them, had negative words about the word business. So if we use the word business, whatever it is, if we've got such a huge population out there that thinks that's a negative term, that's pretty tough. So what do we use instead? And what you did was to talk about bringing a multi-billion-dollar Japanese company into North America. That's a whole different ballgame. And it puts it in a scope that's exciting to them, but they don't already say, heard about that, ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
That's putting it in the sense of trends and megatrends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else had any sort of a win or lose or question or draw about this last week and following people up? Did you find it difficult to get them on the phone?
Yeah.
I have. I've had a few people that wanted information, and now they, like, you remember the Jeff guy we talked to at the meeting?
Yeah.
He left and he wanted information and everything, and now he doesn't, he's a ghost. He doesn't return phone calls.
I hate that. That happens to me too.
And so I think then I'm going to give him one more call and say, hey, I guess you're not, you know, the serious call. I'll listen to the tapes again to learn to get the right script to get the right words that are proper to leave about.
Yeah, I like the way that Danny words that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Why don't you take your best shot at throwing out there what you remember?
Danny, when people are, you know, well, I don't know. So, well, you know, I guess you must not be real serious about, you know, making that, whatever it was that their goal was. You know, and they're like, well, yeah, you know. Well, I mean, she made them almost feel like they had to admit what they wanted if before the conversation would end. I don't know. How did she do that? I don't have the actual script either, but...
When she would leave messages, I mean, she was on... Not a jerk about it, but she was like, you know, this is the last time I'm going to call.
Yeah.
I can't,
She makes them feel like they need to get on board or they're going to miss something.
That's urgency, and that's one of the most critically missed things in our whole business, is making it feel like, boy, you guys got... Hey, got to get here. Don't miss this one. This is
yeah, not- or, you know, when they're sitting there going, well, you know, well, I don't know. I need to think about it. So, well, I don't think you're real serious about this, or, you know. Well, yeah, I am. Well, yes, I am, and they'll defend themselves.
Well, she uses over and over again, and maybe some of you have heard this, but she says basically, are you deadly serious right now about making some change, or are you just trying to give me an answer so that I won't feel bad?
Yeah, are you just trying to not hurt my feelings? Yeah, and that's a great thing to say to people, because, you know, be real with me, because if you're just trying to be nice to me, then I'm moving along. you know, you're filtering out those people that are just trying to be nice, that aren't really serious.
Is she doing that or a follow-up? Is that how she's doing that, is with her follow-up?
Yeah,
yeah. When
you're following up, or if you're doing a call and nobody will call you back. And there are other ways to have people call you back, too. One time I used to use this and worked out some, and that was to call somebody and just go, holy cow, great news, call me, then hang up. But what she said in one of her favorite lines was, hey, I know that I didn't read you incorrectly, and I know that you're a very responsible person. In fact, I was very excited that we were going to talk. I just meet so many people that aren't. And so when you miss the call or when you're not able to call me back, you know that thing with the company we're working with and that sort of thing, that doesn't really matter a lot right now. I just know that it's so much out of your character not to call back. I just want to check and make sure you're okay. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's just really not something that's such a big deal with that. We can always deal with that sort of thing later. But please just give me a ring and just let me know that something didn't go wrong and you're all right.
And I used to think, well, we're just kind of tricking people into it, but that's not it. It's more that, you know, they are getting themselves in the way of their future, and they don't understand that. They are so, you know, mindset on the way that things have been that they just need people to, you know, kind of have a little reality put in there. You know, they need to be awakened, if you will, to a different way of thinking. And it's not a trickery or anything goofy like that. It's just that, you know, there's something better out there for them, and they just need people to help them lead the way to that. You know?
And you're validating the importance.
Yeah.
We used to do this when we'd hand out a CD or DVD or something. Actually, in those days, we'd hand out video tapes.
Right.
But yeah, when we went to give it to somebody, we'd hold it just a little bit tighter and say, "You know, I only got one of these right now, and I know I'm going to have a couple people that are waiting in line for it. So I got to know, or if you're really on it, then yeah, I'm all over giving it to you. But if not, if you're just kind of doing this to be nice, or I just don't have very many, and it's flying fast enough that I can't give this out. So are you sure you're going to take a look at this between tomorrow and, or now and tomorrow afternoon? It's giving it value.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll usually go home and they'll shove it in their stock drawer, and then you'll never see it again. The same thing with your product. Anyone else have one that you tried to get back with, and then it either worked well or it didn't work, or just kind of filling us in?
Well, my friend Jerry that I've been working with, I really didn't get a chance to show him a whole lot. The only thing I had to do was demonstrate the mag strides. He was impressed, and he said, I've got to see this. And I said, well, let me show you how do I get some of those? And I said, well, I can show you how not only you can get them, but you can help other people, and you really can make a lot of money doing it, too. So anyway, I called him, and he was still 15 minutes away from home after we talked today. And so I'm going to call him tomorrow morning and relay him to Jerry, and we're going to see if we can't get Jerry and Jerry to bring Jerry in and get business going.
Cool. I'm on that. Jennifer, have you got anybody that you've been kind of rattling around with, some of those people from that one evening?
I've called two back. One was the guy from Starbucks that I told you just wasn't interested in having any business options open.
Yeah, but we didn't really get to know him either, did we?
No.
We just stood there and played.
And then there was another guy that I had talked to in Radio Shack that... It was so crazy. Out of the few people we talked to that day, we met two guys that wanted to be youth pastors with the intent of becoming full-time pulpit ministers. Just really ironic. Had nothing to do with one another. But anyway, I called him back today and just told him that my colleague and I were discussing people, something about, I don't know, I have it all written out somewhere, that we were thinking about adding some new people to our to tour company or something like that. And asked him if he kept his business options open. He's like, yeah, awesome. What do you got? And I was like, well, I know you're on someone else's time, so why don't you jot down this web address and check it out, and then I'll give you a call later after work. And he said, so what do you do? Which is one of the things Dean talks about when there's direct in the conversations, which I totally stumbled over. And so I did the whole thing about how Nikon's been here for 30 years or whatever, and we're just looking to bring this major Japanese company into the market here in Chesterfield, and said something about health and wellness products. And he said, well, I don't have anything to do with anything that has to do with the health and wellness industry. He said, but thanks for your consideration or something.
But I can guarantee one thing, he sure will. Not anybody will have something to do with health and wellness. What web address do you tell him to go to?
Firstlook.biz.
Say it again?
Firstlook.biz.
Okay.
And you got so far down the line and did a fabulous job. I mean, I would have been all over going in and looking at what you were doing there. And so you did get to that point where you got, okay, what is it that we do here? And that's one we're going to really want to work on. Who's got some ideas on what you would do if you were back in that corner?
Well, I think she did a real good job, you know, and that's what it is. You're looking at bringing a wellness industry to the Midwest, a 30-year-old company. It's the 581 Dun & Bradstreet rated business, and there's less than 1% in the country that have that rating.
Well, I think, you know, and I think she did great, but when he said that, I kind of would have thrown it a little bit back at him, you know, cause just out of curiosity for myself. You know, how can anybody not be into wellness and health and wellness? I mean, do you ever get sick? And he'd go, well, yeah. Well, what do you do when you get sick? You know? Are you going to get old? Yeah. Well, what are you going to do when you get old? You know? Do you have kids? Do you have, you know, what? You know, I would just be totally curious about that. Why don't you have anything to do with being healthy? I don't get that.
I think he could be downplaying himself, too. That sounds like I'm, you know, I'd have to have a lot of education, and it would be more sophisticated beyond what I know how to do.
Oh.
But that's a possibility there as well.
And I pointed that out to him, that it wasn't, we were not healthcare professionals by any means, and he just said, I'm just really not interested in anything to do with health.
Maybe something happened with him with, you know, some other company, and he's going, you know, I just got a bad taste in my mouth or something.
Yeah, that's that perception that he can come in with. And so what I have done in the past with this side of a situation is I will say, well, let's see. I'm actually not looking for somebody to go into the health side of it. The reason that we're talking to you is because you have the ability to coach, work with, and motivate people. Realize that every corporation has different levels of activity that they do with folks. And that would have gone maybe down that route a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Good point. Because just turned it back on the business aspect to him.
Well, what we told him was that because of his skills, he came to mind. And so if we can play it back on, oh, yeah, well, you could do that if you wanted to, but what we saw in your skills was this. And I've used an old analogy before where some people would say, I'd say, well, do you want to join a Tupperware company and wear the hat and run around and burp lids in people's living room? No way, I'm too sophisticated for that. I would never do that in 10 years. Well, what if we asked you to be the vice president in charge of motivation and training and you'd make $360,000 a year putting people together and then teaching them motivational seminars. We could do that. I'd be singing the fight song from the rafters. I'd wear the hat and the purple shirt, and I'd be all over it.
Uh-huh.
Just imagining what is it that cranks their tractor and then playing it back to them. That was very, very good, Jennifer. It's just that one little deal, and yet it was so disposable that you could learn a quick lesson like that. The man, he was totally interested, as would be most people, in looking at changing their lives. Now, if you had the script there, that you might come back and say, well, what I need to do is to check out and see if you have skills in areas that we're really looking for, and you ask those questions, it will tend not to get you that kind of a response.
Okay. Should I have just, when he started asking questions like that, should I have just been like, well, check out the website, and we'll talk about it after you get off work?
You can try that, but it sounds like you're blowing him off. And then that would be something that he might turn cold to.
Right.
So if he says that, you're kind of into it already, and then you'll have to come back with, oh, maybe I misspoke here. That's for the other people. What we're looking for in your case is your ability to lead and inspire. And we need to get together so I can show you how that piece fits into the puzzle. We already have people that deal with the health aspect. We need people that deal with the educational, motivational path.
Mm, okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
What you're really implying is that everybody matters and everybody has their place and part to play. Jennifer, that was very, very good. You guys are learning so well. And I think it's the reason that you're all learning is because our hearts are all in the right place. It is honest and true. We're really telling the truth about people, and that makes it a whole lot easier. You don't have to remember nothing. What is that? Mark Twain said about telling lies? He said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember much.
Right. If you tell a lie, you have to remember all along the way everything you said. And then you do get tripped up.
Now, I was, Gina, did you come on? Or Rick? Okay, they must be tied up doing some telephone calls. That was one thing that I was going to pull out here. We've now experienced which kinds of approach methods. What kind? If we call, warm call. What are some of the ones that you all feel like we've covered pretty well? You all feel pretty good with the idea of actually just walking up to people cold and making them a warm market?
I like that.
I think it's the best I've ever seen anybody do, so you guys are doing very, very well within that. How about the idea of warm markets? Do you feel like we're as good as we could be in warm markets?
Yeah, it's way easier.
Warm market is for you, TJ?
Oh, yeah.
Not for me. This is harder.
Yeah, it's harder for you?
It's harder for me. I don't know exactly why, but my warm people are harder than my cold people.
Yeah, one of the great speakers in NECAN, Marty Jeffrey, one time said, what we try to teach you to do first is to go after the ones you really love and care about, and then when you're done with that cold market, you can start on somebody that's worked for good for you.
They do turn kind of cold.
And you can turn to somebody that what?
Then you can turn to somebody that's warm. You go to the people that love and care about you, then after you're done with that cold market, turn to somebody that's warm.
How most of them look at you and say, well, you're not going to do this, and I don't see how that you're going to make it. And after you make the first million, then they said, how come you didn't tell me about it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't listen.
Well, what I was going to bring Rick or Gina on for was they're doing a little... what Terry Latham does. Now, I don't recommend, because you're going to have so many prospects, you're not going to be able to follow up with them anyway, and we really need to get that skill of making a real good connection with them. But as you become professionals at this game, you will use other techniques. And some, you may get one or two people from each type of technique. And what they're doing is they're doing what's called resume ads. And in those, they'll basically place a resume request in the paper. Mm-hmm. Wanted someone who's got entrepreneurial skills, desire to break out, do something that is pioneer.
Hey, Jerry?
Yes?
This is Sharon, and I've got her exact ad. And
wow.
It reads really awesome. Would you like me to read that?
No, keep it quiet and make them crazy.
Make you crazy? Okay.
Do you know what Terry's dad says?
Huh?
What's that?
Terry's dad says the warm market?
Oh,
mind if I run this by you? I know you're not interested, but you're a friend of mine, and if I don't run this by you, when I'm very successful, you're going to be very mad at me. So would you just listen to me for a few minutes?
That's awesome. Remember that, guys.
Okay, here's how they're acting. Multinational, multi-billion Japanese corporation that researches, develops, and markets cutting-edge health technologies. Expanding in North America, seeking 12 highly motivated individuals desiring to manage a business from home. Business sales background helpful but not necessary. Part-time and full-time positions available. Set your own hours. Professional training is provided. Compensation $1,700 to $9,700 monthly. Email resume too. And then Mary Jo, she had on the P2 call, hers is real simple. Looking for 4 business leaders. Teaching with some public experience is helpful. Firstlook.biz. Go to www.firstlook.biz and then send your resume in. But Gina's is, they worked really, really hard on that resume pad, and they're getting some really good response.
Then you have to know how to handle them once you get them.
Yeah, how's that working for them? Really good.
I think they got 3 contacts the first day.
Yeah.
Then they got enough on each day that they've had, they got busy enough with them and enjoyed the process enough that they forgot to put the ad in the second week.
Yep.
So for those who want to have a
podcast,
can you get that email to us?
Sure.
You send that to all of us, can't you?
I'll send it. Yeah, I'll send it. Not a problem.
Good enough. Well, Sharon, can you share with us our homework for next week?
Well, you know, I'm so confused. I thought it was Robert Kiyosaki. So can someone fill me in on what it is next week? Because I've been playing with 3 phones here trying to find this assignment and set something up for Wednesday. Anybody help me out? Otherwise, I'll get the assignment and email that also.
It's the first part of, what's it? Sorry about that, I had a record. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's the first 4 chapters, I believe,
okay.
Of that, and, let's see if I got the rest of my notes here somewhere. Page 26 in the workbook.
Oh, I'm back.
Wasn't there something about having to listen to some of the big picture calls so that we could discuss that?
That's this week, isn't it?
I'm always
a week
off.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so.
If you don't listen to the live call, you won't get a week off. But if you listen to the live call, you'll get a week ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, listen to the live call.
And I'm actually scheduling lunch and learn. So, okay, what else? Okay, so we've got the first 4 chapters of Think and Grow Rich, page 26 of the workbook, and listening to the big picture calls. And what is our CD?
Oh, I had that down here. Where am I? I'm looking all over for it.
I'm sorry, guys. But I'm doing what NECAN consultants are supposed to do.
All right, what we'll do is we'll try to get that out to you guys by email. Good week. Excellent. In fact, very, very inspiring on your pairing up to go out and do your recruiting. That is totally cool. And the only other thing I've got to put on my calendar is to get a children's book for Audrey to read to me next week.
Hey, man. Hey,
we're going to get Audrey to go out with us next week.
Yeah.
What's the best time tomorrow morning for you?
Well, you know, J.W., the only reason I wasn't there Wednesday night is because it was my birthday.
Well, happy birthday!
You better be expecting me on Wednesday night.
All right, we'll see you Wednesday. Hey, we changed that. Where's the juice place?
All right, I don't
want to
miss out. You guys better let me know about it.
Okay, we will.
Okay, JW and TJ, I'm going to call you when we get off this call. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Mike Mercer?
Yes.
Looking at my calendar, probably the best time to get me tomorrow morning will be around, 10-ish.
Around 10-ish, okay.
My time, which would be noon your time.
Oh, is that noon my time?
Yeah, now that is, unless you're...
I'm Central Time.
Central, yeah, so is that going to work for you?
Yeah, I'll probably be at a hospital, but I've got a mobile phone, and I can, I think I can freeway on a mobile, can I? Yeah,
sure.
my mobile does freeway.
Yeah, you should be able to, and then if anybody gives you any grease, just shush the nurses.
Well, we'll figure out something there.
All right.
Okay, bless you, and thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
That was a great call, guys. Good job.
Good night.
Goodbye.